Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. Sacramento comedian Keith Lowell Jensen is performing at the Sophia Theater this Saturday night. Keith, who has toured all over the world, shares stories of his various run-ins with the law over the years. Sometimes he's gotten arrested, sometimes he's been let go, and sometimes he's even been roughed up, and sometimes he's also landed in the drunk tank, and the stories from there are quite interesting. Keith's latest show is called What I Was Arrested For, and we'll learn how he used his sense of humor at times to get out of trouble for the most part. An upcoming show which you still can get tickets for. Keith, welcome back to Insight. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me. I have to real quick interject that I was sober in the drunk tank.
Oh, you were okay. You were sober in the drunk tank.
I was not drunk, and that's a special accomplishment.
Well, we're going to dive into that one. Before we get into your show at the Sophia, you're from Sacramento. You're a local. Like, what do you make of this heat wave this week?
Oh, it's great. Last night, I went to take the trash cans back in after hiding all day. And it was 100 degrees out and it felt good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's cooled down. And then I looked at the thermometer and was like, oh my God.
I looked at the high today and it's supposed to be like 108 or something. And I never would have thought that I would feel relief.
Relief, with
a 108 degrees following what happened, 24 hours ago.
Yeah, just 108. Ooh, I can handle that. I'll go for a run.
Given that you've performed all over the world, what's different about performing in front of a hometown crowd?
Well, I definitely have that hometown advantage. I mean, I'm performing in front of enthusiastic fans, maybe even some friends and family, and that's nice. Also, with a show like this, where the stories are about Sacramento, there's a loyalty issue. I'm not in Chicago making fun of Sacramento. I'm in Sacramento. We're making fun of ourselves. We're laughing at ourselves.
That's awesome. Well, your show is on Saturday night, just in a few days. It's called What I Was Arrested For, and it's a collection of stories of your run-ins with the law. I mean, give us a short example, maybe one or two of the stories that you're going to tell and unpack on Saturday.
Sure. Like my most recent arrest, which was not as long ago as I would like to have you believe. I haven't outgrown this, is what I'm saying. I was arrested for riding my bike on the K Street Mall back when it was, pedestrian mall.
Oh, really?
Really, I was arrested for having a big mouth. But that's how it started. It started with the bike thing. And then I got out of jail in the morning and just took a taxi straight to work. My job at the time, my boss is like, why are you late? And I said, I just got out of jail.
Just another day.
Right. And he's like, Rick, Kevin, get in here, meeting. And then we all sat and traded jail stories. That's where I knew, like, people love jail stories. As soon as he heard I'd gotten out of jail, he's like, oh, yeah, we got story trading to do. And the next hour, we just all took turns.
Yeah, talk about a water cooler conversation that takes that to a whole other level.
Right.
Okay, so let's get into that one story where, or I don't even know if it was alone time, but being in the drunk tank, but being sober in the drunk tank.
Right. I made the mistake. I told them I have ulcerative colitis, which I do. But I was telling them, hoping maybe they wouldn't keep me. I was like, oh, yeah, I have drugs I have to take every night. And if I don't get them tonight, it could be serious. Because they had arrested me for something so frivolous anyway. I was like, surely they'll let me go if I tell them I have a real health concern. But all that got me was a medical alert bracelet and then put in the drunk tank because that's where they can keep an eye on you the best. So if anyone's listening, don't do that. Don't try to get out of jail by having a medical excuse. You will just hang out in the drunk tank. But then again, you'll get great stories. So maybe do that, because the drunk tank was kind of fun.
Yeah. Did you make friends?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I have a couple of, I hope they're listening now. Rims, if you're out there, what's up, buddy?
All right. So you are telling funny stories about being arrested, but the news cycle is obviously full of people who don't look like you. You're a white male, not surviving run-ins with the police. How do you manage a balancing act, which can feel like privilege to some?
Yeah, I had to acknowledge that right at the top of the show. That's really important. I'm telling stories from the white male perspective because those are the stories that I have to tell, but recognizing that my experiences are different and that, if I was a person of color, these stories might not have had funny endings, But I also encourage other white males, go get arrested. They're not going to throw the book at us. They go light on us in the court system. And then you're keeping the cops busy. All the time they spend with us in our big mouths, that's time they're not out harassing brown people. So it's a good civic thing you can do. Use your privilege. If you're a white cis male listening to this and you haven't been arrested before, what are you doing? Come on, live a little. Get out there. Do it tonight.
Has your sense of humor gotten you out of trouble?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of times. So now it backfires on me. My daughter knows that if she can make me laugh, I can't punish her. But I've had cops laugh. I've also had cops like, you know, why are you speeding? Oh, I'm late for a comedy show. I'm a performer. Like, oh, really? Oh, yeah, you tell me a joke? And I'm like, if I do, will you let me go? And they're like, sure. Yeah, I've had that happen once in Oregon.
In Oregon?
Yeah. The cop was like, tell me a joke. And I had to think of one real quick.
And then he let you off the hook.
Which, you know, I mean, these jokes are written to be told in a dark nightclub where people have a couple drinks. Telling it to a cop on the side of the road, I'm actually really proud that I got a laugh out of him. I was like, here you go.
So your style of comedy is like raconteur style. How do you describe that? And how did you develop that over the course of your career?
So, yeah, I tell long stories and I try to make sure it stays stand-up, meaning every long story should be made up of short jokes. And that's what's great about open mics is if you have a 15-minute story, they're only going to let you do 5 minutes at a time. So if you can pick any 5 minutes from that 15 and make it work on its own, it's going to work better with the rest of it. But if you can make it work on its own, you're doing it right and you're keeping it stand-up. You know, and I have nothing against storytelling. It's pure storytelling. I love me some Utah Phillips, you know, but to justify me being in the clubs, I do try to keep that rhythm to it and to work it out. So if you love stand up, you'll love what I do. If you love storytelling, you'll love what I do. It's still both. I say still because eventually I'll become an old man who just rambles on and doesn't bother with trying to be funny. But for now, I keep the jokes coming fast and furious.
So let's get to like maybe little Keith. What drew you to comedy and storytelling?
You know what's funny is I was called a class clown, I think for the first time in junior high, and I was really offended by it. I wanted to be like the sensitive artist. I listened to The Cure. I was a poet. I was like, I'm not funny. But I was always cracking people up. And then definitely, I come from a long line of storytellers. My family, I mean, the first time my wife was in a gathering of my family, just the volume of it, she couldn't believe it. But we're all competing to grab the attention and tell a story, you know, and there was like nothing that was prized more in my family than having a good story with a good ending, holding people's attention, holding that noisy room to grab it and hold it. Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite comedians?
Emo Phillips. You know, I'm trying to say the ones who haven't gone and blown it and now I don't want to give him any attention because they're dirtbags. I love Bill Hicks. I actually lucked into getting to see Bill Hicks before I was even knew that I was going to be a comedian. I won tickets, you know, from this cafe where I worked. They were like, you know, hey, we got free tickets. Who wants them? And I put my name in and I got them and ended up seeing one of the all-time greats. George Carlin, Richard Pryor, you know, no big surprises in there.
Yeah. And shaping your work as well, I can imagine.
Yeah. Even in ways where like they're so like Emo Phillips is so different. I'm really myself on stage and talking about my personal life, whereas he's made this great character and his stuff is so abstract. And I think I'm inspired by that because it is so different than what I do. But then I'm influenced by the way he uses his voice and the rhythm to what he does. And, you know, so you take a little bit from a lot of different sources.
So we got into the comedy part. When did that kind of collide with your run-ins with the law? When was the first time you were arrested?
You know what's funny is I start the show by asking the audience who in the audience has been arrested. And I tell some stories of times when I did things that I could have been arrested for and I wasn't. That way, something for everyone, something for the people who weren't arrested, too. I shoplifted when I was 15 and I got caught. And they were like, oh, we're going to do you a favor and not call the cops. And I was like, okay, great, thank you. And then they were like, we're going to call your parents.
Of
and
course.
I was like, is that cop thing still on the table?
<I know>.
Maybe go back to that. And then I was arrested for political protesting. My first couple of arrests were surprisingly consensual, where the cops were like, if you don't get up and leave, we'll arrest you. And I was like, that's what I'm here for. And they were like, okay. You know, I was this back and forth that was very polite. I think like sitting swapping stories with other people, I realized, oh, there's a lot in these stories.
Oh, yeah.
And then for years, I used these stories. If I went up and tried to just do my standard stand-up comedy act in a rowdy room or a room where I felt like I wasn't quite grabbing them the way I wanted to, I would sometimes abandon my act and say, hey, you guys want to hear about a time I got arrested? And it never failed. And then eventually I was like, well, maybe I should just plan to do that if it's doing so well for me and it's so reliable for me.
What do you think that tells us, or what do you think that says about about people's interest? Because I think that's kind of across the board that you could do something like that and there'll be someone who wants to hear the story.
Because it's a part of everyday life. And yet most people have very limited,
if any, experience
with it.
That often is attached to shame or something that you don't really want to talk about, and you just kind of own it.
Yeah, that's true, too. Maybe that's part of it, is that I'm just like, oh, yeah, I got arrested. Also, maybe part of it is that I have this strategy with my shows to make sure that I'm totally unemployable. That way I can't give up on my dreams. Because my last show was what I was arrested for. This show not for rehire, all the things I was fired for. Mm-hmm. This one's what I was arrested for, all the things I got arrested for.
It's a nice, healthy sabotage.
Right. Trying to make sure that anyone that looks into my background thinking of hiring me is like, oh, no. Why would I?
Not him. I do want to get to, before we close, your openers, comedian Johnny Taylor. You two are very close. You go back. You know, talk to us about Johnny. I mean, what about his comedy complements your show?
You know, we're similar in style in that we're not going to yell at you. We don't pace the stage. You know, we're both pretty mellow. But at the same time, we're kind of opposites also. I mean, I'm like I said, sober, married guy with a kid in a pretty mellow phase of my life. And Johnny's a wild man. I think he likes touring with me because I'm the designated driver. So his stories are very different than mine, but we have a style that's complementary. Mm. So, and I love him. I mean, he's a great guy to be on the road with. We just take turns playing music and we have a good time.
Finally, Saturday show. What should people expect? How do you want them to feel when they leave?
They should feel like they laughed harder than they've ever laughed. And I'm so thrilled with the response that this show has gotten when I've tested it on the road. That's the response I'm getting, where people are just... I just did it last week in Chico, and a guy told me it was the funniest show he'd ever seen live. That felt great. Also, maybe they'll take away from it the moral that they should hesitate before calling the police.
And, you know, especially when it comes to the laughing part, like, we so need that right now, especially surrounded by people.
Yeah, and people ask why I'm not more political. And I'm like, because it's really dark right now. It's easier to be funny about, you know, the politics is kind of between the lines.
Yeah.
But
thank you so much, Keith. Keith Lowell Jensen will be performing at the Sophia Theater this Saturday night, and tickets are still available. That is it for Insight today. Have a great day. We're going to catch you back here for Thursday show tomorrow.